name may never be in lights on a marquee. The world may not applaud when I sing. If I can be a light to a friend in the night, then that's all that I desire to be.
So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call.
Just a child, I knew all the while you wanted me to preach, Lord, just for you. Well, I can't count the miles, sometimes I get so tired, but after all you've done, it's the least that I can do.
So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call. For the world out there is dying, full of lonely people crying.
Tell them about you, about you.
So remind me, Lord, you call me. Though sometimes I may be weary, but if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see those teardrops falling, then remind me of my calling, and may I never
beautiful prayers. Well, in fact, it is the chief prayer prayed by the Lord Jesus for his church. That's John chapter 17. And it's a prayer that is a bit overwhelming. Brother Buck, I'm very sorry, a while ago I didn't remember that Brother Presley was your first cousin. His Brother Presley's dad and Brother Buck's mother were brothers and sisters, and that had just not entered my mind. I knew it, but it had entered my mind. But now that I remember that, it makes it even more special to us, Brother Buck. The book of St. John 17, and you have this great prayer. We won't begin at the beginning of it. It would be a little long, but let's begin with verse 9, if we might. St. John 17, verse 9. I'm preaching this morning on the sanctified life. The sanctified life. There's probably not a text of Scripture, not a truth in the Bible, not a word in the Bible that is more dynamic than the word sanctified. I will never forget, many years ago, I was pastoring Black Mountain, and all the time I was there, I got the Billy Graham paper. His home was, of course, up on the mountain there, right behind where our church was. Had seen him a time or two. His wife had attended church for, I think it was a funeral service of someone who had been a helper to them. And so they were nice people, kind people. And an article, a question came out in the Billy Graham paper. And it was a question and answer that Billy Graham would answer them. I think they may still have that. And the question was, what has happened to sanctification? What's happened to sanctification in the church world? And Billy Graham gave a straightforward answer. He said, the level of Christianity today is below the level where sanctification begins. And I thought, wow, what an answer. The level of Christianity today is below the level where sanctification begins. Now, remember, that was before the year of 1968. Sometime 65, 66. 1965, 66, 67. Don't remember the exact year, but I was pastor there in Black Mountain for 4 years to 1968. And it was while we were there. And I was just thrilled that he said it so plain. But, you know, where is the church today? Sanctification. It's hard to find somebody that knows what the word really means. Amen. And I know I have always preached it, but maybe not enough. Well, I want to really preach it this morning, and I want you to hear it. I want you to listen with all your ears, all the carefulness of your heart. And let's begin in St. John 17 and verse 9. I pray for them. This is the church, the saints. I pray not for the world. See, he's not praying for the world. He's praying for his church. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all thine are mine. And thine are mine, and mine are thine. I got it backwards. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I come no more in the world, or I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And then go to verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Talking about his saints. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus is praying for his church, his saints, you, me. And he's praying because we are his. And all his are the Father's, and all the Father's are his. And he says, I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And so I need you to keep them while they are in the world. And then he prays for that keeping power. He prays for sanctification. The surrender of the inner man to a cleansing of the old man of sin, so that self is on the altar to Christ. If there's any simple statement of sanctification, it is when self and all of self is on the altar to Christ. When self and all of self is on the altar to Christ. Now, let me tell you, it is so beautiful to think of this. I will never forget, brethren, ladies, I'll never forget. I spent 2 years praying for sanctification before anybody would say to me, now you need to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And for 2 years, many times, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, we're in the altars praying for sanctification, praying to be sanctified, praying to be sanctified. And I remember those days with great excitement and joy. And I want to tell you something. When you truly get sanctified, you are even more a new creature than you were when you got saved. And you were a new creature when you got saved. He said of them, he said, you're not of the world. See, you can't even get sanctified till you come out of the world. I mean, you got to give up the world if you want to get sanctified. He's not just going to jerk the world away from you. People come to the altar and say, Lord, I want you to take this old smoking habit away from me. He didn't give you that smoking habit. You say, Lord, I want to take this drinking habit away from me. He didn't give you that drinking habit. You give it up. And then when you give it up, he's ready to sanctify you and take all of that hold and that bondage and those fetters and set you so free until you will be a new person in the Lord as a saintly man, a woman. Father, help me preach this morning. These are my people, and I love every one of them. I love that great crowd that listen to these sermons every week. I'm thankful for every one of them. I pray for the Bulkins. I thank you for that new baby, Noah, that was born yesterday at 11:33 their time, 12:33 here in North Carolina. I pray your blessings upon all of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, keep your Bible open, and let's go, if we might, to a couple of other verses, if you don't mind. We'll go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, and verse 1. Now, this is another scripture written by Apostle Paul that emphasizes this business of sanctification. Don't use the word here, but the emphasis is powerful. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. For this will we do, if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have turned and have tasted the good word of God and the promise power of the world to come, if they shall fall away. If they shall fall away, he said, it is impossible for them to come again unto repentance. And he goes on to say, seeing they've crucified the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, one other scripture that I need to go to, and that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Let's begin with 22. Well, maybe 21. I mean, you could go all the way back. Great passage. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen to this now. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Notice that word holy. Does it spell H-O-L-Y? But H-O-L-L-Y, meaning from head to toe. Sanctify you all together, all of you, inside and outside, upside and downside, right side and wrong side. Sanctify them. Sanctify them. And notice how he continues. Sanctify them wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced that sanctified people are almost impossible to backslide. I'm convinced that if a man or woman goes on to the point of being sanctified, the possibility of backsliding is almost non-existent. A possible, yes. But because once you are sanctified and that old man in there is dead and he no longer has a control over your life, you own your way to victory, my friend. You own your way to some of the most wonderful victories you'll ever know in all of your life. A sanctified life is a victorious life. How many would say amen to that? A sanctified life is a victorious life. It is the life of discipline that I preached last Sunday morning. It is a life of such wisdom in the Lord and by the Holy Ghost that He enables you to live effectively and faithfully and genuinely for Him. Now, I want to try to first give you a picture of how I perceive a sanctified life. And I believe I have the Bible to back me up. And I want you to look at it and listen to it and let the Spirit of God talk to you. But I want to try to explain what I believe a sanctified life really is. Number one, the sanctified life is a balanced life. The sanctified life is a balanced life. You might say a life of wisdom, as I preached last week. Because a sanctified life is a wise life. And it's wise enough that it's become balanced. It's not off on some edge all the time. And always in the valley of despair. And always, unsure of what's happening. It's a balanced life. And there's nothing needed like a balanced life today, brother. I mean, you need a balanced life. You need a life with control. You need a life with wisdom. And you need a balanced life. And number two, it's a teachable life. A sanctified life is a teachable life. It's a person that you have no trouble talking to if there's a problem in their life. Is a person that you can be a pastor to them, and they will respect you when you are a pastor to a sanctified person. They will listen. They are teachable. They want to learn. A sanctified person will never claim to know it all. I don't care if they've been sanctified 50 years. A sanctified person is still teachable. A sanctified person is still teachable. You can sit down with them. You can stand with them. You can even from the pulpit rebuke in the church when things are not right. And they will respect your rebuke. And they will let you teach them. And they will move in response to you. Because a sanctified person is a teachable person. Something has happened in here that's destroyed the control of that old self. And no longer does self have to have his way. No longer does self have to be the dominant factor. No longer does self have to be bossy and in control because they are sanctified and self has been hushed up and they are literally ready to be taught. They are ready to be taught. Now, you don't find much of that in the church world today. Preachers that are like me, that say truth and do my best to say it with love, with tears on my cheeks, with a burden in my heart, with a throbbing in my chest. I mean, I yearn, my friends. I yearn with all that's in me to say the right things to the right people for the right reason and to be a blessing to them. But when you become sanctified, I promise you, you will be teachable. Never will they backtalk you. I think of a man right now that I'm doing my best to minister to, and I cannot yet pass the first base with him, because everything I say to him, he always has an answer that lets me know, hey, I'm waiting on you to change. You aren't waiting on me to change. And I was praying for him this morning. Dear man, in a desperate need, a big family in a desperate need, but he will not listen. Nothing you say even gets to, but there are many like that, and I face them almost every day of my life. When you try to help them, they are resistant. Don't try to tell me. I probably know as much about the Bible as you know. Well, they may, but that doesn't change the position of a pastor. Doesn't eliminate the authority of men of God, women of God, who are doing their best to be a blessing to other people. We want to help people follow the Lord, don't we? How many want to help somebody follow the Lord? How many want to help somebody live a clean and godly and pure life? Hey, church, we must be sanctified. We must be sanctified. They respect authority. When you're sanctified, I'm telling you, you'll respect your mama's authority and your daddy's authority. You'll respect old grandpa's authority. You'll respect the policeman on the street. I have no use for people. Well, I shouldn't say I have no use. news for them. I care about everybody. But I can't stand when people treat policemen like they're some kind of rats and rascals. Oh, yeah, that's some of them are. But they got to deal with some of those same kind of folks too. And so you respect authority. You respect those in position. And that's a sanctified life. You're no longer bulldog. You're no longer bullheaded. It changes. How many believe what I'm saying? It changes all of that. It brings you into a state of being teachable. It brings you into a state that you want to learn. It brings you into a state that you've got an open heart. That's maturity, going on unto perfection, going on unto a mature life and a mature heart, and respecting that which is pure and that which is holy. I'm telling you, it is so important in this day to have a sanctified heart. The Bible says, and this again goes to sanctification, there's no private interpretation of the scripture. Oh, you'll find we live in the day when everybody's got their opinion how everything in the Bible ought to be and what it means and what part they don't like. I told you of the young man who said to me a few days ago, used to come to this church, and he said to me, I don't believe in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 any longer. I said, what right do you have to tell me you don't believe in a chapter in the Bible? See, that's an unsanctified attitude. That's an attitude of selfishness and carnality. That's being ruled by a spirit of destruction. Are you listening to me? That's being ruled by a spirit of destruction. And believe me, destruction is on the way for that young man. Unless, of course, someone turns him around or he stops to listen. Now, all of these things are so important. Another thing that I think so important, and I'm going to talk about what sanctification can do for you. But, and that is people that have pep doctrines that they have become completely, completely controlled by. Have you ever met somebody that had a doctrine that this is the only doctrine they want to talk about? Especially people who are Jesus only, who don't believe in the Trinity. They are some of the most tough people you ever dealt with. And that's their only thought. That's their only pet. I mean, they love the pet doctrine that Jesus is the sum total of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they can't stand the term Trinity. They accuse all kinds of reasons and places where that term arose. I'll tell you where it arose. It arose when God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness in the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. That's when it arose. God said it. I didn't say it. Let us make man in our image. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, with those remarks about sanctification, how many can say, I want to live a sanctified life? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high and kind of wave it. I want to live a sanctified life. I want to live a sanctified life. I want to be a sanctified man. I want to be a sanctified woman. I want to live in such a manner that I'm yielded before the Lord and yielded before His kingdom. I'm subject to them over me in the Lord. I'm yearning for somebody to teach me the ways of Christ. I'm yearning for a deeper walk with God. I want to go on into perfect love. Perfect love. Perfect love. Praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord with all your heart. Now, I want to tell you what sanctification, and those things are kindly things it'll do for you too. But I want to get down to the nitty gritty of us. Because I know that sanctification has a beginning. And I know that sanctification has an ending. Sanctification begins when you make up your mind to live a sanctified life after you've gotten saved. Maybe when you got saved, it could happen. Yeah, that's between you and your walk with God. But it doesn't end until you're glorified on that great day when you shall come into His likeness. And I find me, the longer I live and the older I get, the more I need to stay under the grace of sanctification. Amen. The more I need to stay under the grace of sanctification. I've got to have Him every day moving upon me. And see, my righteousness is a filthy rag. How many of you know your righteousness is a filthy rag? Your all of your commitment, all of your convictions, everything you have that you make a part of your walk with God, every bit of it is a filthy rag for what he does in you by the power of the blood and the work of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God. Amen. So I know how long I'm going to need to be sanctified on a regular basis. Every day, I've got to have that grace that sets me apart, that puts the old man to death, that says to self, "Stay in your jailhouse where you belong. I'm not going to be ruled by you. I'm going to be ruled by the power of the blood." Oh, hallelujah! I want to preach this with all my heart, church, and I want to make you hungry for a sanctified life, a life set free from all of self, so that you're teachable and gentle and kind and usable and pure and full of love and full of surrender and faithful and dedicated and everything that God can use. Hallelujah, of your life. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Well, let's talk about it. Let's try to understand it. It is so important. You see, when you are sanctified, self is no longer in control. If you are ruled by yourself, you are not sanctified. Very simple. If you're going to have your way or split a gear, you are not sanctified. If you're going to get all bullheaded when somebody corrects you, you are not sanctified. Oh, listen to me now. Is everybody willing to listen? Are you listening? When you really get sanctified, old self is dead. I'm telling you, old self is dead. I've had him to get resurrected 1,000 times since I've been saved. I really have. But I always know where to go and get him back where he belongs, under the bar, under the blood, under the Word of God. And sometimes I've had to say, "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted that way. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked that way." You know, I've had to say it because the Bible said a righteous man falleth 7 times and yea riseth again. How many know that? A righteous man falleth 7 times and yea, he gets up. He doesn't stay there, and he doesn't continue, and he's not bullheaded. He's ready to say, "I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me?" Hallelujah. Isn't that a beautiful thing to say, "I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? I'm sorry. Would you please help me? I'll do my level best to never act that way again." Oh, how many times? Oh, I tell you, I've enjoyed the Christian life, and I'm just being real, real honest and open with you this morning. I'm just telling you that Joe Chambers has to stay sanctified, just like you've got to stay sanctified. And I'm here to tell you, there's times when you need to do some repenting, and you need to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" Oh, yes, it's so important. It's so very, very important. And God will forgive you and strengthen you. Hallelujah. And you'll become stronger every time it happens. Amen. Amen. So when you are sanctified, old self is no longer in control. Do you hear that? When you're sanctified, self is no longer in control. And Apostle Paul said it. He said, "I am crucified with Christ." Now, when you're sanctified, you're crucified with Christ. When you're sanctified, you're crucified with Christ. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I still live. But not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Hallelujah. Notice he said, "I live by the faith." I live by the faith. A sanctified man is no different from you, except he lives by the faith and the crucified life, and keeps old self under the altar, and keeps on walking with God, and keeps on serving God. And when there's a low point, he goes find him a place to pray, and he prays until the high point comes back. Hallelujah. I am sanctified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive, but Christ lives within me. Hey, church, this is sanctification. It's a marvelous life. It's a wonderful life. It's joy unspeakable. You know, they always preach, and I believe with all my heart, the greatest joy of a Christian's life is when they get sanctified. There's more joy in being sanctified than there is in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that with all my heart. There's more joy and being sanctified than receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In fact, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost occurs and great joy explodes, it's because there has been a surrender of self to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost has taken over a sanctified vessel. The Holy Ghost has come to control a sanctified vessel. The Holy Ghost has come to be the master of a sanctified life. And when the Holy Ghost comes and baptizes a sanctified person, there's an explosion of joy. There's an explosion of excitement, an explosion of thrill, because your life is hid with Christ in God. You are buried with Him, and there's been a resurrection, and now you're bouncing with the joy and the strength and the excitement of the risen Lord. Somebody say amen. Father, sanctify somebody right while I'm preaching this morning. Throw your hand up and say, right now, I claim the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. I claim death to the old self. I claim death to that old man who wants to rule me and make me do his thing. I claim death to that, and I am now Christ. I belong to Him. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. The risen Lord, woo, hallelujah, is in control. Praise the Lord, Brother Derek. Praise Him while you're standing there. I'm here to tell you, it's a beautiful life to be sanctified and set apart in the power of the wonderful Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have great joy when you're really sanctified. Oh, raise your hand if you want this joy. Oh, this joy that's explosive. This joy that blesses everybody you meet. This joy that makes people look at you and envy what you've got. Makes people look at you and say, I want what he's got. The greatest soul winners there ever were sanctified men and women who spread the joy of their life everywhere they went. Hallelujah. People would watch them and look at them and listen to them and wanted what they had. Oh, it's such a romance. Oh, hallelujah. Would you praise Him with me a minute? Oh, Father, I love You. Thank You for sanctifying this old man. Hallelujah. Thank You for keeping me all these years in that beautiful grace. Hallelujah. Set apart to God. Hallelujah. I belong to Him. Woo, hallelujah. I feel it way down this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to live a sanctified life. I want to be set apart. What is it that sanctifies me, Brother Chambers? The blood of Jesus. That's what sanctifies you. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The old man is stubborn and bullheaded, but nothing can match the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Something happened. I think it was this morning I read it, and it just overwhelmed me. The Pope was praying in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York on, Thursday. I think that's right. Maybe it was Friday. I'm not even sure. And as he prayed, he said something that overwhelmed me, and I had to know if he really said it, and I've got it somewhere. I'm not sure I've got it in my Bible, but he said that Jesus had a failure, and his failure was in the flesh. The cross was his failure, that he failed at the cross, that the cross was a failure to him. And I shook my head. I said, that can't be true. I was reading it, but I didn't believe it. And so Brother Ken got here this morning. I told him about it. I didn't know it, but he went on the internet and he found it. And he found the Pope talking, and he read to me, in fact, played to me. I could hear it myself good, but he told me exactly what the man was saying. He was saying that the cross was a failure for Jesus Christ. Well, I want the Pope to know he doesn't know what he's talking about. He may be the Pope of 1.3 billion people, but he don't know what he's talking about, and he don't know what this Bible says, because I'm telling you, that blessed Savior died on the cross, and he died as the God-man. He was both human and he was divine, and when he shed that blood on the cross, I'm going to tell you, that blood dropped to the ground in divine sovereign power, and every person that comes to that blood and claims the cleansing of the blood of Jesus can be born again, and then they can be sanctified and set free from the old nature of that ugly, strong, bull-headed man or woman, and live a life of godly surrender to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. You can be sanctified. And all you got to do is quit trying to think you can accomplish it in your own flesh and turn it over to Christ. And claim the blood of Jesus washing you and making you pure and clean and holy and set apart the vessel of God, the vessel for His honor and for His glory, and you will have great joy. Hallelujah. I feel that joy right now. Anybody else feel that joy? Oh, I feel that joy bubbling up on the inside. I'm sanctified. The devil has been defeated. This old flesh doesn't rule my life. I'm in His control. The blood of Jesus is my victory. The power of the Holy Ghost is my strength and my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. When you get getting sanctified, your church will be your burden. You will love your church. You will love the house of God. You will love the business of the Lord. You really will. It'll become the joy of your life. You'll love it more than you love anything else. There's not one pleasure on the face of this earth that matches the pleasure of being sold out to Jesus Christ and having the burden of His kingdom and His divine will and His divine purpose upon your heart. I belong to Him. I don't want to belong to me. I don't want to belong to nobody else. I deal with people all the time trying to get them to make up their mind and get in church. And they'll look at you and say, I'm a Christian just as much as you are and just as much as anybody at your church. And I don't have to go to church to be saved. And I say, I know, you don't have to go to church to be saved. But when you get saved, you're going to love the house of God. You're going to love the house of God. Oh, you say, do you love this place? You better believe I love it. Why do you love it? Because it's beautiful? No. I love it because what I feel, whether I'm by myself or whether I'm with you on Sunday morning or whether it's Wednesday night or whenever it is, when the kids in chapel on Friday, man, we've been having church. Why? Because we're in the house of God. And I'm teaching them to love the house of God. I'm teaching them that real Christians don't want to be outside and away from God's house. They'll look for a place. They'll do anything they have to do to find a good place to go to God's house and love Him. That's sanctification. Did you know that? That is absolutely sanctification. It is the nature of Christ in you that makes you love His house. He loved it so much, the Bible said He died for it. He shed His blood for His church. He said, take heed over the church which I've made you overseers. And he goes on to talk about how he died for the church. He died for the church. Oh, we are his company of saints. He walks up and down our aisles. And even the Bible says that Jesus even sings in the church. I've been looking for that moving of the Holy Ghost afresh, where the Lord begins to minister to the church. And the Holy Ghost breathes upon us in the power and the warmth of his Holy Ghost. Don't you love him this morning? How about just standing up and worship with me before we go on preaching, will you? And just praise him. Lord, we love you. We come to your house this morning because we love you. We want to be sanctified lives. We know the need of this hour is a desperate hour. Hallelujah. We love your house, Lord. We love the business of your kingdom. God, sanctify somebody. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I learned long ago, Father, when we get good and sanctified, the Holy Ghost comes on his own accord. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost comes on his own accord. What a God we serve. What a God. You may be seated. Let me tell you, I'll never forget, after I'd prayed for a couple of years to really be sanctified and trying my best to bring my life to a point of utter abandonment, and God had helped me and I really had got sanctified. I remember going to a tent meeting and we was having up in the Glen Raven area where Sister Chambers was raised, and one night I said, I'm going to stay here tonight till God fills me with the Holy Ghost. And I'd hardly got to that altar before God had baptized me in the Holy Ghost. Now, why, Brother Chambers, was it so easy that night? Because I had got thoroughly sanctified. I'd got the old man on the altar, put to death, crucified. He was dead. He wasn't in charge no longer. I didn't have to come there and look for anything of a level of emotion. I didn't have to try to fix my lips where they could talk in another language. I didn't have to kindly usher myself along and start repeating something that somebody said. All I had to do was turn it over to him, and he came. Hallelujah. And baptized me. Hallelujah. That's what sanctification is. It's the preparation heaven for God to take control of your whole vessel and to make your temple a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so sanctification simply gets the temple ready, simply gets the temple in such surrender, in such dominion of the Father and of Christ, in such a place of dedication that the sweet Holy Ghost just comes and takes control. Oh, hallelujah. I love this. I love this. I don't know how many here may not have received the baptism, but I want to tell you, you're just as close as you are walking in sanctification. And as you are seeking, don't even pray again for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Pray for God to sanctify you. Pray for God to get you completely on the altar. And once you are purely and utterly sanctified, that's why the Methodists, the old Methodists didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they were sanctification believers. They'd pray and spend weeks praying, believing until God would sanctify them. And then there would be strange things happen among them. Those people who got sanctified would begin to talk in languages that nobody else understood. And they didn't know what it was. They didn't put no theological tag on it. They just enjoyed the presence of God. And what had happened was they got sanctified and the Holy Ghost moved in. Do you want the Holy Ghost to move into your vessel? You want the Holy Ghost to move into your vessel. You want the Holy Ghost to really take dominion over you. You want the Holy Ghost to become the master of your very personality, the master of all your thinking, the master of all your talking. You want him to become your teacher in the Holy Bible. You want him to start using the gifts that he's given you and manifested the sweet work of the Holy Ghost in your life. Give yourself in utter sanctification and utter surrender, utter devotion, and the rest will fall in place as God moves upon your heart and life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, church, listen to me. There is nothing so wonderful. Nothing so wonderful. You begin to bear the burden of others with great joy. You will actually delight in the authority of your pastor. You'll delight in the leaders of your church. You'll respect the women that rule with the women and the men that rule with the men. You'll respect everything about the work of God. The preacher in the pulpit will bring joy to your heart as he declares the wonderful truths of the Bible. Amen? Amen. You know, I feel like I'm defending myself. I don't need to. I'm not trying to. I really aren't. I just want to tell you that when you are sanctified, you are a vessel in surrender. Oh, the Methodists used to call it perfect love. There's a book written by J.A. Woods, a great little book, called Perfect Love. I bought it many years ago. And it's all about sanctification. It's about this perfection of love that takes hold of you until you love the most unlovable people in the world. You say, I have trouble loving some people. They're just repulsive to me. You get good and sanctified, and you can love the meanest rascal in town. You get good and sanctified, and you can love the greatest enemy you ever had. If you can't love somebody, if there's people you just can't stand, you need to get sanctified. I'm here to tell you, if there's anybody on the face of this earth that you can't stand, you need to get sanctified. Oh, Brother Chambers, you can't mean that. Well, I know what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love makes you a creature of utter surrender. It makes the nature of Christ as natural in you as it is natural in him, because it flows through you by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. I hope, I pray that you'll get hungry for old-fashioned sanctification. And I pray you understand that Brother Chambers isn't talking to you from a pedestal. Brother Chambers is talking to you right down on the same level where you live. I am aware. I am so aware. I am so committed to the sanctified life. I am so submitted to the sanctified life. I know the greatest need of the church. Let me tell you when Holy Ghost revival is coming. Let me tell you when it's going to strike this church like a bombshell one Sunday morning. And that's when all of us make up our minds that we're playing games with our faith and start walking in sanctification and honor. That's when it's coming. I said, that's when it's coming. When we make up our mind. Are you ready? Are you willing to make up your mind? Are you willing to get the victory over yourself? and over the things that self is determined to have his way about, and you determine to walk as you please to walk, and you will not listen to the holy word of God. Come on, church, let's get sanctified. Let's get completely surrendered. Let's get so completely sold out to him. Hallelujah. Jesus is ready to do it. Hallelujah. He said, confess your faults. He said, another place, confess whatever's wrong, your sins. He's faithful and just to cleanse you from them and to purify you unto righteousness. He's ready to do that. He just needs your willingness. Hallelujah. Everybody in this building who's willing to walk in sanctification and honor, I want you to stand up and let's stand together in prayer and surrender. I want self on this altar. I want self buried here. I want self dead here. I want self out of commission here. I want the holy will of Christ to take complete dominance of my life, my family. But my family needs a man of God as a head of the family. Your family needs a man of God, a woman of God as the head of your family. Raise a hand with me now, will you? And just pray with your sincere heart up unto God. Oh God, we yearn for a sanctified walk with you. We yearn for to put the old man to death and to live in the victory and the joy and the power of the sweet Holy Ghost. We yearn for a life that's so yielded to Christ that the Holy Ghost can just breathe among us and show us his honor and his glory. Oh, I hope you're yielding to this. I hope you're moving with this. I wish you'd get your hands up there and cry out to God with all your heart and all your soul. I gotta have the best that heaven provides. I gotta have a miracle for my family. I gotta have a miracle for our school. I've gotta have a miracle for our community up and down these streets of multiplied numbers of people dying and going to hell. Oh, God help us. And what are we doing? Are we going to win them? Are we going to win them? Let's pray again. Father, I love you this morning. I preach with his color. I feel his Holy Ghost. Somebody just raise your hand and yield to the Holy Ghost this morning. Are you a Holy Ghost filled vessel? Well, then let it flow through you. Let that Spirit of God flow through you. Hallelujah. When God's people get together and the Holy Ghost begins to move, everybody full of the Holy Ghost ought to be yielding themselves for the Holy Ghost to move in them. Hallelujah. Who knows whom God would please to use this morning? He doesn't just want to use a preacher or a couple of men. He wants to use every one of you if your vessel is full of the Holy Ghost. Or he wants to use you if you hadn't got to that point yet. If you're surrendered, Lord, I want to be yours. Lord, I want to be yours. Lord, I want to be yours. Hallelujah. We're going to wait on him a minute. Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be yours, Lord. I want to be surrendered. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want my vessel to be a vessel of honor. The Bible says a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. How many remember that great verse? A vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. See, that's what I'm trying to preach. When you become sanctified, you meet for the master's use. You're ready for the Holy Ghost to use you. You're ready for the Holy Ghost to move upon you. Just raise your hand now. Wait on a minute, would you? Don't get in a hurry. Brother.
I've been saved by the wonderful, wonderful grace of God.